Today's story fills me with so much anger that I don't even know how to begin. The events that unfolded around Farkhunda Malikzadeh in Afghanistan are just deeply troubling, haunting my dreams as I grapple with the question, how could a group of people, not just one, but entire mob, commit such a heinous act against a young woman? Radicalism and extremism have the power to severely cloud one's judgment. Tragically, this mindset isn't rare across various social groups worldwide. In some instances, it escalates to such an extreme that it leads to loss of life. In our focus today, we explore how radicalism can silence the voice of critical thinking and result in the unjustified death of a woman in Afghanistan. Out of respect for the victim, I will not be showing any graphic images of her, but I must warn you, the narrative itself is disturbing. Viewer discretion is advised as we delve into the case of Farkhunda Malikzadeh. Kabul, Afghanistan is not some remote area detached from civilization. It is the nation's capital and largest city. It was here that Farkhunda Malikzadeh and her family settled into their daily lives. Her family was well-educated, with her father working as an engineer and her mother being a high school graduate. Like many Afghan women, Farkhunda was a devout Muslim. Regardless of her daily activities, she never missed her prayers, regularly visiting the shrine to pray. She had previously attended university and later switched to Islamic studies to deepen her understanding of her faith. Farkhunda was a diligent student, committed to attending every lecture. Farkhunda, like many women, dreamt of finding a husband and starting her own family. Her most admirable quality, as noticed by her loved ones, was her strong will. She was unafraid to speak her mind when she perceived something as wrong. This commendable trait, however, would unexpectedly make her a pariah, an object of hatred. The turning point came when Farkhunda began to notice individuals near the Shahidu Shamshira shrine violating Islamic principles by selling supposed good luck charms. These mullahs and other vendors claimed that these charms would hasten the fulfillment of one's prayers. In Islam, idolizing objects is forbidden, and this practice disturbed Farkhunda. Yet, she refused to remain a passive observer. Based on her knowledge and faith, she believed this practice not only wrong, but also damaging to the reputation of Islam. Initially, she expressed her concerns only to her family, advising them against participating in these blasphemous scams. But as the issue persisted, Farkhunda felt a growing conviction that if no one else would act to stop this, she should at least attempt to intervene on a smaller scale. On March 19, 2015, Farkhunda revisited the Shahidu Shamshira shrine. In the courtyard, she spoke to passersby, warning them that the sale of charms contravened Islamic teachings. She urged them to pray in the mosque opposite the shrine instead of buying charms. Her efforts were successful as people refrained from purchasing these items. This action infuriated the sellers, particularly a man named Zain Uddin. Little is known about him, except for reports claiming he smuggled Viagra, condoms, and pagan charms, all of which are illegal in Afghanistan, both legally and according to Islamic law. Zain Uddin was incensed by Farkhunda's interference with his business. Frustrated at the loss of potential earnings, Zain Uddin resorted to a heinous act that would forever mark him. As Farkhunda was discussing the un-Islamic nature of the charms, Zain Uddin confronted her, falsely accusing her of burning the Quran. He showed a burnt piece of paper to support his claim. Moreover, he alleged that Farkhunda was an American spy. This accusation quickly escalated as a mob encircled Farkhunda. They pointed fingers, making groundless allegations, while some began filming her. Despite Farkunda's protests and insistence on her faith, the situation worsened. When the police arrived, they attempted to escort Farkunda to a nearby building. She requested a female officer accompany her, but before this could happen, she was dragged away from the shrine by the crowd, subjected to kicking and physical assault. Threats of death echoed around her. As more police officers arrived and fired warning shots, the mob dispersed, revealing a harrowing scene. Farkunda sat on the ground, injured and bloodied, with her hair disheveled and her hijab removed. A shoelace slipped off beside her. This tragic image captured the severity of the violence she faced. Farkunda was hurried into the Shadu Shamshira Mosque by people trying to protect her, but the angry crowd outside was trying to get in. They were spreading false rumors that she was allied with Americans. This was a baseless accusation against a woman merely seeking refuge from a life-threatening situation. The police, in an attempt to keep her safe, moved her to the roof of the building. But she was struck by stones from the crowd and fell back into their hands. What happened next was horrific. Around 150 men dragged Farkunda into the street and attacked her relentlessly. Despite her pleas, they ignored her, and her body was severely beaten. Adding to the brutality, she was tied to a car and dragged for about 200 meters. A vehicle was seen running over her, an image that is disturbingly available on the internet. The absence of police intervention during this lynching is alarming. Rather than stepping in to stop the violence, they neglected their duties, with some even directing traffic around the scene. This raises questions about their stance on the accusations leveled against Farkunda. The police's inaction in the face of such brutality has rightfully incited anger and disbelief, especially among Farkunda's family. Despite the severe beating, Farkunda was still alive, but in a very bad state. The mob dragged her to the Kabul riverbank, continuing their assault with stones. In a gruesome turn, they attempted to set her on fire. When her blood made it difficult to light the fire, they used their own clothes as fuel. Farkunda was just 27 years old when she died from this brutal assault. Disturbingly, the mob chanted Allahu Akbar as if to justify their actions, believing they were defending their faith. In reality, they were murdering an innocent woman. After the incident, the police interviewed Farkunda's family. In the face of intense scrutiny and pressure, the family initially claimed that Farkunda was mentally ill, a statement they maintained during the investigation. But her brother, Mujibullah, strongly contested this claim, insisting that Farkunda was not suffering from any mental illness and was in a sound mental state. The aftermath of Farkunda's death was marked by continued misinformation and fear. The false narrative that she had committed an act as egregious as burning the Quran persisted in the community. Because of concerns of further violence, the police advised Farkunda's family to leave Kabul for their safety. But before they could depart, the truth was uncovered. Investigations revealed that Farkunda was innocent of all the allegations made by the mob. She had not burned the Quran, nor she was an American spy. She was simply a woman who had spoken her mind and inadvertently angered an uneducated smuggler. This revelation shocked both the nation and the international community as the case received widespread coverage. The depth of the tragedy hit home for Bibi Hajera, Farkunda's mother, when she saw her daughter's body. Farkunda's face was completely burned, her limbs bruised and battered. Overwhelmed with grief, her mother tearfully cleaned her daughter's face, questioning why such cruelty was inflicted upon her. She was certain of her daughter's innocence. During Farkunda's funeral, Bibi and other women made a powerful statement. They vowed not to let any man touch Farkunda's coffin. Any man who approached or offered to help was turned away. challenged with the question of their absence when Facunda needed help the most. It was a group of women who carried her coffin, mourning and chanting for the loss of Facunda's soul until she was laid to rest. In response to Facunda's death, a massive protest took place. On March 24th, thousands of women and men marched through Kabul, some with their faces painted red to symbolize Facunda's injuries. They chanted, "We are all Facunda," to express solidarity and highlight the injustice of her death. The protesters believed that Facunda was killed because of the men's refusal to listen to a woman and their quickness to condemn her. The march was not only a call for justice for Facunda, but also a broader demand for an end to the oppression of women and the establishment of fair justice. The day following the lynching, Dayul Hakabid, a deputy minister for religious affairs, confronted Zainuddin at the shrine. Zainuddin admitted his false accusation against Facunda was driven solely by his anger over her disrupting his business. His expressed regret, however, seems hollow in light of the irreversible damage done. Yakub, a young man who was selling sunglasses with his uncle during the lynching, also faced repercussions. His involvement was well documented, and although his family claimed he was misled into thinking he was defending his faith, his actions contributed to the tragic outcome. Two other men faced serious consequences. Sharaf Beglani, an agent of the Afghan National Directorate of Security, who boasted about delivering the fatal blow to Facunda, and Abdul Bashir, who used his car to run her over. These four individuals were central figures in the trial that followed. The trial itself was conducted in secrecy, with no media allowed inside the courtroom. On May 5th, 2015, Judge Shafiullah announced the sentences, initially imposing the death penalty on the four men. But in a subsequent appeal on July 2nd, the sentences were reduced, with three of the men receiving 20-year sentences and the young man 10 years. This verdict provoked widespread anger, particularly among Afghan women. The leniency shown to the perpetrators and the lack of transparency in the legal process fueled outrage and demands for justice. The Women's Political Participation Committee called for a reevaluation of the trial with greater transparency. But the likelihood of this happening seemed uncertain, reflecting the deep-seated challenges in the pursuit of justice and accountability in such cases. Facunda's tragic death stands as a stark and painful reminder of the violations of human and women's rights. Her case has become a focal point for activists, many of whom reenact her brutal killing to protest the limited rights afforded to women, particularly in Afghanistan. Despite living in what is considered an advanced city, the treatment of women remains, at best, archaic and nonsensical. This reality has instilled fear in young girls, apprehensive about interacting with men, thinking they could suffer a fate similar to Facunda's. Yet, in the midst of this tragedy, Facunda has emerged as a symbol of martyrdom for many women. Her defense of Islamic faith, in stark contrast to the actions of those who killed her based on the accusations of an amulet smuggler, has resonated deeply. The site of her murder has been transformed into a memorial marked by a tree, serving as a reminder of her life and the issues she stood for. Her family's decision to adopt her name as their surname further honors her memory and legacy. Facunda's life was cruelly and unjustly taken in a barbaric manner, but her spirit and the cause for which she stood have ascended to a place of reverence and respect. Her story, while heartrending, has created a movement and a call for change, ensuring that her legacy endures. That's all for today. Thanks for watching.